And we're back.
And we're back.
And we're back. Yes. Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Puma.
And I'm Tori.
And we are super glad that you joined us today.
Yes.
And Tori, you want to just share sort of what we're doing today?
Yeah. So guys, this is, I think, a really, really important topic, but I do want to preface this with, this is going to be very adult themed. This is a very sensitive topic. And I know that if there's, you know, maybe a minor listening to this, or that this is, you know, something that maybe you have some trigger with some of this content, feel free to not listen to this podcast. We're going to address it because I think it's important and the Bible addresses it. But I do want to preface this with, this is a more sensitive and adult themed podcast.
Yeah, we've been talking about the heart of God and really sin. I mean, this podcast, we talk about Jesus' life and everything in between. And you know, some of the things that the consequences of sin are pretty devastating. And yeah. I love, one of the things that communicates to me that the Bible is true is it doesn't sugarcoat certain things. I mean, it calls a spade, says sin is sin and it is evil. And sometimes God tells us what is, he's not necessarily endorsing what's going on, but just says this is what is. This is the consequences of sin, and this is how sin sometimes is going to be lived out. You know, the heart of God, as we've looked at it in Exodus 32, is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And that is really true with the what we're going to look at today, that yeah. God is, it's actually God's care and provision today in the midst of a world that is full of sin. How we can, people can be helped and even taken care of in spite of just sinful actions. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, with that being said, guys, let's dive in today's podcast. All right, Puma. So, we're going to address this topic through a story. So, a few weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago, I had a conversation with a person, and this lady was very anti-God, anti-God of the Bible, and kind of a feminist. And I was talking with her, and she really had some very strong opinions, and said the God of the Old Testament, in particular, the God of the Old Testament is a misogynistic, which is not true, but she basically just came out and said that the God of the Old Testament is an evil man who hates women, and I can prove it. And I'm like, oh, interesting. Okay, where do you see this? And she took me to this passage in Deuteronomy. And so we're going to address this because she is convinced that God hates women, and it's not her words, because it's God's words. So let's go to Deuteronomy 22, and we're going to look at a couple of verses here. But I'm going to start in verse 23. So Deuteronomy 22:23 says, if a man happens to meet in a town a virgin pledged to be married, and he sleeps with her, you shall take both of them to the gate of the town and stone them to death. The young woman, because she was in a town and did not scream for help, and the man, because he violated another man's wife. You must purge the evil from among you. And then verse 25. But if out in a country, a man happens to meet a young woman pledged to be married and rapes her, only the man who has done this shall die. Do nothing to the woman, for she has committed no sin deserving of death. This case is like that of someone who attacks and murders a neighbor. For the man found the woman out in a country, and though the betrothed woman screamed, there was no one to rescue her. Now, I'm going to pause there. The lady was telling me how, you know, the fact that a woman, you know, can't sleep with a dude, and she has to die for that. And then if a man rapes her, well, the man should obviously die. But then, like, you know, there's no vindication for the woman other than the fact she lives with that the rest of her life. I mean, very, very offended by these verses. But the next two were really triggered her. But before I get to the next two, I just want to say for verse 26 and 27, I love how God even acknowledges that if a woman screams for help, like if she's actually being raped, the man dies, it assumes the woman tried to scream for help and nobody was there. The right. woman gets the benefit of the doubt, which is super countercultural here.
Yeah, that's really not favoring the man.
Right, yeah. We're going to assume that out in the country, the woman tried and no one could help her. Therefore, don't harm her. She's the victim. So yeah, so now we're going to get to the verses that really, really triggered my friend. And it's verse 28 and 29. If a man happens to meet a virgin who is not pledged to be married and rapes her, and they are discovered, the man shall pay her father 50 shekels of silver. He must marry the young woman, for he has violated her, and he can never divorce her as long as he lives. She read that to me, and she goes, Tori, right here, this is it. How can a good, loving God have this woman who gets raped? And not only does the man, 50 pieces of silver, she was like, that's like 50 days of work. That's no big deal. But the Bible commands that he marries her. She has to live with the one who harmed her in that way. How is that fair? And the Bible makes it very clear. He can never divorce her. She is stuck with a monster of a man. How can a loving God possibly, in a million years, how is that loving to the woman? It's not. God hates women. He's a misogynist to God. That's why I can't believe in Christianity. Wow. I mean, right. That's...
And then the mic drops, right?
Yeah, it just... And, you know, I feel really badly for my friend because, you know, there's a past there and there's a lot of hurt. But even without the past, these are hard verses, Puma. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is really, really tricky.
Yeah, especially reading them from our 21st century Western egalitarian, everyone can do and think whatever they want to think and everyone has a right to everything mindset. Mm-hmm. I can see how this would be, offensive and even hurtful, hurtful words, you know? And this is the thing when we read the Bible, you know, what is God communicating, trying to say? Not how we think it should go, you know, reading into it. And so really what we want to do is what is God's heart here? I mean, is God just this, misogynistic?
Yeah.
God? Because if he is, I don't want that God.
Right. Same.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, and that doesn't square with a God who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in mercy and love, showing love to thousands.
Yeah.
So what do you think is going on here, Tori?
Yeah. So after that conversation a while back, it really got me digging. Okay, because if she's right, then I'm with you, Puma. I don't want to follow a God who just victimizes the victim, you know? And so after studying this passage, I am more convinced than ever that God loves people, including women, equally.
Right. Yeah, he loves people and honestly, I think no one loves women more than God
does.
Yes. I mean, you start from Genesis chapter 1. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them, you know. Men and women together have dignity, worth, and value, every man and every woman.
Yeah.
It isn't either or, it isn't one or the other. Mm-hmm. It is both and, you know. So God isn't for men and against women. He's not for women against men. He is for all of us.
Yeah.
And that's his heart in the Bible. So, yeah. So what did you discover?
Yeah, so it started with some digging around this time. And again, this is right before, they're not in the promised land, Deuteronomy. They are about to enter, right?
Right. This is still that situation. The last 2 weeks, we've been looking at, you know, the nation of Israel wandering in the desert. So yeah, so Deuteronomy is really before they enter the promised land, after the 40 years is coming to an end, it's kind of retelling all that has happened and giving them final instructions.
Yes.
Yep. And so, in part, and this is something I think that's really important too, contextually, God repeatedly in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, you know, with the beginning of Israel, he's saying, you just left Egypt and they did all kinds of evil, sick, twisted, detestable practices, and you're going into the land of Canaan where people do all kinds of sick, evil, twisted practices, and the land is vomiting these people out because of all the evil they've done. And you, my people, I do not want you to live the way they do. I don't want you to practice the things they do. I don't want you to treat people the way they treat people. You guys are going to treat people with dignity and respect.
Yeah.
In a world full of sin, that we all sin, we still need to treat people with dignity and respect, unlike how they treated each other in Egypt or Canaan.
Yeah. No, thank you for bringing that up. Yeah. The context around the Israel at this time, you have mostly Canaanites. There were some Amorites, a few Jebusites in different places. And all of these cultures, nations were so evil. In fact, I read, not to get too graphic, but women, they had less rights. They were less than just property. In fact, if a man were to rape, you know, a Canaanite woman and she did not satisfy him, he would have legal right to beat her to death. I mean, again, they were just so awful to women. It's disgusting. And so now you read, you know, Deuteronomy, what are Israel's rule? What is God telling Israel how to treat women? Now, it's not nearly as bad as the Canaanite surrounding places at all, but it still sounds a little fishy, okay? So yeah, a man rapes a girl. And, right.
And God here is not condoning rape.
Yes.
He's just saying the reality of sin is that people sin and men sin.
Yeah.
And men sin in this way.
Right.
And but how do we live in spite of that?
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. And then a few verses before that I read the beginning, right? If a man rapes a woman, he's to die, right? I mean, like, yeah, God is not at all for molesting and taking advantage of people at all. And this is what I love. This is what I so love about the God of the Old Testament, right? Look what he says. And the more I dug into this, the more amazing it was. If a man wrongs a woman this way, if he molests her, if he rapes her, he has to pay, okay, sure, a small dowry, yeah, 50 shekels of silver, but then he has to marry her. And that's huge. That is so, so huge in Jewish culture. To be a virgin was so special. It was almost as if I'm not a virgin, I can't marry you. You know, they could not marry someone who wasn't a virgin. And so when the man takes that wrongfully, when the man who is completely in sin takes that from someone, he has to marry her. This is what that means. If a woman was not a virgin, and that was known, not only was she shamed by her community, she couldn't get a job anywhere. Nobody would marry someone who wasn't a virgin. Meaning, if she doesn't get married, she's on her own. And if she can't get a job because, oh, she's that promiscuous woman, oh, she's that woman, no one's ever going to marry her, then the only job she could get would be a prostitute.
Yeah, see, we really have a hard time understanding this whole idea of shame, a shame culture,
mm-hmm.
because we are a shameless culture here in the West.
Yeah.
You know, we have no shame. We have no sense of honor, no sense of dignity, no sense of, mm-hmm. I think, the right kind of pride and respect.
Yeah.
You know, we're just a disrespectful, shameless culture. But many cultures around the world still today deal with this whole shame. Mm-hmm. You do not want to dishonor the family name. You do
right.
not want to bring shame upon the family. And that was very true back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, your honor was more valuable than gold and silver.
Yeah.
You know, to have an honorable name was of a higher value than monetary wealth.
Yeah. Proverbs says that verbatim.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely your reputation, your character, your renown.
So we're talking about like the highest value in the culture mm-hmm. was your honor and your name. So to take that from a woman is basically like taking everything from
yes.
her.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. And that's why it's so cool. God forces the man and commands, if a dude does this wrongfully, he has to marry her, meaning not only does she get all of his honor, but he has to provide for her the rest of her life. All of his wealth, all of his income, all anything he owns now is transferred to his wife. And then I love the last part too. He can never divorce her, meaning the whole community knows this. This dude made the wrong thing. He can never divorce her legally. And so who is shamed the rest of his life? Not the woman. The man is shamed the rest of his life and is held to a standard. I did a bad thing. I have to marry her, and I'm going to provide for her the rest of my life. And oftentimes, men died before the women did. Lots of widows, a hard culture, but again, very rough. There was no Walmart. Men often died before the ladies did. And so all of his wealth would go to her and then eventually her kids. And I just thought about, wow, when God said this man who did a terrible thing, who raped this girl, bad thing, he is now responsible for the rest of his life to honor her and to help her and provide for her, and he is shamed the rest of his life by the community. I mean, and for a guy to be shamed, again, even going back to the New Testament, Jesus, right? Joseph, right? Jesus, son of Joseph, right? They always a son of, they named the dad. To disgrace a man who did a bad thing and the whole community knows he did a bad thing, he can't divorce this girl. The punishment was on the man, and I bet you that was more, that was worse than death. That probably stopped all the potential rapes, because what man wants to live in that disgrace the rest of his life?
Right. See, as Moses is writing this down, as God is giving it to him, this is more of writing this down, here's what to do, but this is also to be a deterrent. Mm-hmm. See, you do not want,
yes,
you do not want this, you know, men, you know, yeah, so don't take advantage of women.
Yeah.
I mean, this is God really saying, hey, this is what happens if this happens,
mm-hmm,
and you don't want this.
Yeah.
So this is a deterrent, mm-hmm, for guys that might think, yeah, I'm just going to kind of do my own thing.
Right. Yeah. In a shame culture, to be dishonored was worse than death. And so I now that I know that context, man, I love how much God loves and protects women. This was for their benefit, because nobody would marry a disgraced, you know, non-virgin woman. But if a man violates her, he is so responsible, and for the rest of his life, he'll provide for her, and she gets his honor, he gets the shame. You know, like it just elevates women at a place of protection, and I love that. That's the heart of God. That's the heart of God. God is not saying, okay, you're stuck with the one who victimized you and used you. No, he's saying the one who did that is responsible, and he's going to pay for it until he dies.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's awesome. I think that's so cool. And so Puma, after hearing all this, you know, what's a good application question for us? Because we see the heart of God, right? He loves everyone. He especially loves those who were misused. And yeah, people are sinful. Men and women have done terrible things. But in terms of sexual assault, men are maybe higher on the list of that. So God wrote this down for Israel before they entered the promised land.
Right. Well, because this is what they're going to experience. This is how, I mean, the Canaanites did far worse than this.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, they were disgusting.
Yeah. So as far as like a, you know, applicational question for us today, you know, when we think about caring for people around us, I mean, and how God cares for people around us, you know, do we value and have dignity for people and the desire, you know, people to be taken care of and God's best for them? Or do we accuse God of being unjust because of the situations, you know, that people are in?
Mm.
Because if God cared about people back then, like those that were victims, do you think he has the same heart for us today? I mean, there's a lot of us today that are unjustly victims,
mm-hmm,
you know? And I mean, I have stories of people that I know that God has created something beautiful out of something very, very, very ugly, you know? But is this the God, do we want to run to God or run from him when injustice occurs? Mm. You know, is he a God who cares about the injustices around us?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. God's heart is not just for, he is sensitive. I mean, he cares about the emotional hurt and baggage of people, especially women, when this terrible thing happens. And he is not a God who is just rules. He really has a heart. He really understands and wants to protect and provide for his people. I think that's a great application question, that, you know, do we value people the way God does?
Right. Yeah. And a question for men, you know, I mean, do we care about women the way God cares about women?
Yeah.
You know, especially in a culture today that says we can think and say and do whatever we want.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if this is how God wants to care for all people, do we want the heart of God as men?
Mm.
And I think men today need to step up. I think the culture is pushing men to step down, but God's saying, men, you need to step up.
Yeah. No, I agree. Yeah. It is unfortunate how often the world uses and flaunts women, and really men are the primary audience for that. And we're users. We are users of people, especially women. And God, you're right. God calls us to something higher, to see and love and cherish the heart and soul of another, especially the female mind. And we can do better. Men, let's do better.
Yes, let's do better.
Let's do better. Well, thank you guys for joining on this podcast. I know it was a little more sensitive and a little more, personal, but I do appreciate you guys following with us. And if you have any questions, please, as always, reach out to us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We would love to touch base with you guys. And yeah, we'll see you next week, Fridays at 10:10. Till next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye.